The ABC's Word Wizard. The Lord of Language. Professor Rolly Sussex with A Word in Your Ear.
So are you familiar with the current neologisms or new words? Have you been a victim of AI washing? Perhaps you've gone boy sober. How are new words made? What prompts their formation? Earl of the Erudite, Prince of Pronunciation, Viscount of the Vernacular and Lord of Language, Professor Rolly Sussex, good evening.
The neophyte of the neologism.
Indeed. So this is a topic that often comes up, even just in normal chat on the program, with words or phrases that have suddenly appeared and are getting used all the time. For example, little brother trucker saying 6'7".
Oh, yes.
Which is what the kids do. If anyone says 6'7", they immediately do the balancing act with their hands, go 6'7". And
the teachers hate it.
Yes, I do feel for them.
No one quite knows how this one arose. There are various stories about it, but this is a new one. Another one that's been around for a few years in the Tour de France is a nature break.
A nature break?
Yes.
Is that when you go to the loo?
Yes.
Right. Well, that's a very
But you don't actually find
way.
A loo and go to it. You sort of sit on your bike and find a quiet place and manage.
Oh, and do there.
But you're not allowed to do it in front of spectators.
Okay.
But you know...
Isn't the whole thing filmed? Like the world's a spectator.
They only take pictures of such riders from the back.
Oh, okay.
So it's all very decorous.
Fair enough.
One that happened last week was the Com Games.
Yes.
Now, the Commonwealth Games have been around for a long time. I haven't heard Com Games before. And I don't know. I mean, Commonwealth Games, four syllables. Com Games, two syllables. It's even Com Game. You can hear it's an echo phrase.
Yes.
So it's kind of consistent with what you'd expect. It's just I was surprised it hadn't happened before.
I'm not sure if the Commonwealth Bank has sponsored it, which may have turned it from Commonwealth to, because they're known as ComBank, maybe it's ComGames to slide into the, because it works.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, if you were going to pick an event and that was the name of your bank, I get it. But it might just have slid in there and no one really noticed that it was more to line up with marketing than it was because Aussies shorten everything.
I was very innocent about all of this.
Yeah. I just have a cynical mind,
Rolly. Yeah, right. Okay, so the Com Games, I think, are now there to stay, at least in Australian commentary. I don't know if the other countries did it.
Mm.
And didn't we do wonderfully well too?
We did.
It was astonishing. Yeah. Particularly I loved the 4x100 men's relay that they just squeaked in.
Yeah.
And unexpectedly.
That's it.
Oh, here's another one. For Ben Carroll, the new head of a new Premier of Victoria, they're calling him Kmart Keating.
Kmart Keating?
Because I think he's the first person from the right faction that's been in there since Steve Brax, I think it was.
Okay.
And this seemed to me a little bit, I mean, the man's only just taken over. Give him a run. Come on.
Yes, but the other side of that, if you wanted to look at it positively, is that Kmart's actually very popular. It does a bang-up job, you know, if you're looking...
It does.
I don't want to sell Kmart to anyone, but, you know, they're one of the few retail stores that are actually doing well. I'm surprised they didn't go with Temu, because that's been the phrase, hasn't it? Temu
it has,
something was...
Pretty much.
It was the cheap version of it.
That's right, yeah. However, the thing is that people are looking for opportunities to create new words. Now, if you get something new, like a computer mouse, what are you going to call it?
Yes.
And Doug Engelbart, who was the American computer scientist who invented it, he looked at it and there was a little box with a wire out. It looks like a mouse. He called it a mouse and saved us all a lot of trouble because there could have been a technical, complicated word with, you know, an analog device for addressing the screen or something. Blah.
Yeah.
So that was fine.
Mouse does the job.
Yeah. But there are, as you said, about... Well, the American Dialect Society reckons 15,000 new words added to core English vocabulary every year.
That's a lot.
And it's more than any of us can remember. And English is already monstrously big, and this is getting worse and worse and worse. No one knows how big the total vocabulary of English is. If you count all of the different countries where it's spoken, plus all of the local variants, it's probably well over a million words.
Yeah.
More than
anyone.
That's
a lot.
Yes, dear. But
how many do we use on on a daily basis?
Very contentious. Educated English speakers, first English language speakers, somewhere probably between 50,000-60,000 passive, these are words you'd recognise, and 40 to 50 active, which is ones you will actually use.
Oh, goodness.
Right. And then my head is really confused because it's got so many other languages churning around in there that occasionally I reach for a word and I can give you the Polish version, but I can't give you the English one, or vice versa. But that, you know, we are awfully good at remembering vocabulary for a long period. But new things, podcast.
Yes.
Or webinar. Or vodcast, for video ones.
Yes.
As soon as one pops up and there's another similar sort of thing, you'll use the pattern, like mansplaining or rewilding. Rewilding is quite nice. It's making sure that you bring a natural environment back to where it was.
Which is a lovely idea.
It's a terrific idea, yes. And so some of these, we don't even think of them as being neologisms anymore. Smartphone is now so enmeshed in our everyday life. So, naming new things, right?
Yes.
Great. Then there are a whole lot of ones like comm games, which are created for economy and efficiency. So they're always shorter, or at least in Australian English, they're not always shorter because with things like Dipper Domenico becoming Dipper, that's shorter.
Yes.
But warn is one syllable, warny is two syllables. Gilly for Gilchrist and so on. So sometimes the rule is if it long, make it short. If it short, make it long.
Oh, right.
Very Australian.
It is.
But you get things like FOMO, fear of missing out. TLDR, too long, didn't read.
Didn't read.
Now, some of these are initialisms where you actually spell out the letters, TLDR. Some of them you pronounce like words, like Qantas, and they're acronyms, including one that you spotted and sent to me reminding me about TACO, which is?
Trump always chickens out.
We shall see.
We shall see. But that came from America, of course. I did not create that myself.
But remember, there are lots of areas, particularly in social media, where brevity is a benefit because particularly in the early days when you only had 120 characters or so, the shorter you were, the more you could say. And leaving out punctuation and doing G and the number 8 for great.
Yes.
Was to be predicted. It's called a rebus, by the way, R-E-B-U-S, and it's been part of English for nearly 500 years. People were playing around with B, the picture of a B for B-E-E, I think round about before the time of Shakespeare. So it's very, very old.
It is. Mm. Now, I found a few. Some of these I hadn't heard before,
Go for it.
I loved taste slop.
Oh, yes.
Which is bland, unoriginal, AI-generated content meant to look stylish. Taste slop. There were actually a lot of words with slop at the end of it.
Yes.
That seemed to have come into play in the last couple of years.
Yep, particularly last year. AI slop.
Yes.
Was the word of the year for the Merriam-Webster Dictionary in America and a couple of other dictionaries as well. And that kind of set the pattern. And once you've got AI slop, it's like having explain, mansplain. You know, you've got one part of it, so you add a new other bit on the front or on the end.
Like greenwashing.
Oh, yes.
It used to be companies would make themselves look a lot more environmentally friendly than they were. Now we have AI washing, where corporates make false claims about using artificial intelligence.
Yep, yep. And there are, in fact, there are multiple motives for making new words and also multiple ways. Some of them are just by blending, where you get hangry, which is hungry plus angry. And that's on the pattern of motel, which is motor, hotel, and smog, which is smoke and fog and so on. That's very old. But all chillax,
yes,
meaning chill and relax. Some of these are relatively new.
See, but chillax is a weird word, isn't it? Because
it
means the exact same thing.
Yes.
To chill and to relax.
Yes. Sometimes they don't mean the same thing, or you can't derive the meaning of the new one from the bits of the old. In which case, it becomes a bit of an in-group thing. You know, do you know what it means? I know. You know, I know. And there are quite a few with, like Spotify. Things like that. Then there are the shortening ones.
Spotify, Shopify.
Yep. There's sesh for session and totes for totally, which I refuse to say.
Is totes almost gone now?
I
reckon totes would be almost dead.
It feels a little bit long in the tooth, doesn't it?
Yep. Just let me see if I can get Lauren's, because Lauren, totes, Is Totes out now? She's a young person. She'd know these. Yeah, she's nodding like, yeah, I know you old people are saying Totes now, Cal.
All right. Well, we recognise it has existed then, all right.
Yep.
Legit, been around forever.
Yep.
Vacay for a vacation, all right, you know.
Oh, vacay. Oh, do we still say vacay?
I think that one is just about fallen off. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then there are things like ghosting, which came back. That was actually related to drama and so on, not nice.
Mm.
Lots of things like have a shift like cloud, where you put your files,
mm-hmm.
you know, or viral, when something becomes extremely popular.
Yes.
And after a while you start realising, gee, there's a lot of these.
Yes.
And it's a kind of pattern which is even borrowing K-pop.
Yes, Korean pop.
Indeed.
Mm.
And all of the things which go with, you know, like Demon Hunters and whatever,
yeah.
Which my granddaughter introduced me to last week.
It's actually not a bad movie.
It's not bad. And it's the actual realisation of it in terms of video is extraordinarily good.
Yeah.
Hygge, Hygge.
Oh, that's been around for ages,
yes,
hasn't it?
Danish word, made popular in Britain, meaning kind of comfortable and fuzzy, you know, with the slippers and a dressing gown and a cup of Horlicks or something.
Mm.
You know.
Yeah.
And there are some like you know, Google, you know, to Google is now a verb, which means it really has arrived. Even Karen.
Yes.
The American one, meaning some female person of certain habits.
I thought Karen might die out, but it doesn't seem to be dying out at all.
It is persisting in a very...
holding on there. And I feel sorry for nice Karens. It must be awful when your name is used to describe terrible people.
Yeah. Mind you, Susan, once upon a time in the 19th century, used to be a common name for the serving person in the house.
The Susan.
Yes.
Lazy Susan.
Mm.
Oh, then now I know where we got that.
Well,
I always
maybe
did
not,
wonder.
Yeah. Okay. So, listeners, if you have some new words, they sometimes get generated by children who can't pronounce things.
Yeah.
And in my family, I couldn't say grandpa, and I was the first grandchild, and I said papa.
Oh.
Whereupon all the following grandchildren picked it up, and he became known as that. And it was one of the ways in which it was very local.
Yes.
And this is why the dictionary makers have to be so careful, because someone reports it, say, on Urban Dictionary.
Yes.
And you have no idea of whether it's just very, very local to one family or one street or one suburb, or whether it's got a rather wider reach, in which case they might consider it. COVID made it into the dictionary in, I think, weeks rather than months. It was extraordinarily quick.
Yep.
But a lot of the other ones, you know, it takes, and for example, like, I don't know, Huru and so on. I don't even know that Huru's ever made it into the British dictionary because it's regional.
Oh, really?
Well, yeah.
I thought Huru was...
Oh, it's in the Australian ones.
I was going to say.
Yeah.
How very do they? One of my favourites that I discovered was boy sober.
Oh,
the practice of abstaining from dating men.
Yes.
That's very popular at the moment. There are lots of good men out there who are getting dates, but you're not up
many
to scratch
other
nowadays.
Who are being
it's
ignored.
Like, I'd rather stay home with my cats.
Okay, here are some. There's another pattern here from what's called rebranding. It's really to do with euphemisms.
Mm-hmm.
Euphemism is a nice way of saying something disagreeable.
Yes.
And so if you're going, I have to let you go,
mm-hmm.
meaning I'm going to give you the sack.
You're fired.
You're fired.
Yes.
Right-sized.
Mm-hmm. Right-sized.
R-I-G-H-T, meaning to reduce the number of people in a firm so that it becomes financially viable again.
Uh-huh.
It's another way of downsizing and so on, right? Downsizing,
yes.
Right-sizing, okay. Or, you know, a lot of these relating to people dying, you know, so-and-so passed rather than passed on. And then there are the rebranding ones like pro-life. Now, it used to be anti-abortion. And now the people who believe this view are picking up a more positive angle, right?
Yes.
Pro-life rather than anti-abortion. Undocumented versus illegal.
Mm-hmm.
Now, illegal immigrants now become undocumented. Particularly in America. And enhanced interrogation, which is an euphemism for torture.
Yes, enhanced interrogation.
Yeah.
Indeed.
So these are ways of I suppose... trying to be twee about something. You don't want it. Well, particularly in journalism and politics.
Yeah. A couple that are coming off the text line, Rolly.
Lovely.
That number 0467 922 612. You're with Kelly Higgins Devine and Rolly Sussex tonight, having a word in your ear about neologisms or new words. Tim at Nullanboy says 100%.
Oh, yes.
Irritates him.
Yep. Very familiar and common in social media of various kinds. Mm. And, of course, they've even made it into an emoji now.
Yes,
so there's
the 100%.
A red 100% with a little red underscore, much faster than writing 100% or typing it or whatever. Once again, brevity wins. Yep. And thanks for reminding us about that. It's actually come out as hundo.
Hundo
percent, yes.
Oh, okay.
Among certain groups of younger people. And if I said that, I think they'd look at me and say, what are you trying to put on?
Kellen Rowley, this one from Brant at Port Douglas. I first heard the phrase comm games used by a few media companies a couple of years ago when the Victorian government cancelled hosting this year's event.
Ah.
I cringed when I heard it.
Right, thank you. In other words, when Victoria said we can't afford this thing.
Yes.
And got out. Comm games. Thank you very much. I shall try and it's very difficult to track these down, but sometimes you can find media reports which are time-stamped and you know when it actually started.
Yeah.
But it's very Australian, sort of thing you'd expect.
Absolutely it is. Alpine divorce was also one of my faves.
Which one?
Alpine divorce.
Oh, yes.
It's a situation where an individual's abandoned by their romantic partner during hiking, climbing or mountaineering.
In other
mainly
words,
due to an argument.
Stay at home and be hygge and you won't get
that's right.
Separated.
You won't have to have an alpine divorce.
That
it happens a lot, though, if they're talking about it.
Apparently so. Disagreements about whether you're going to climb such and such a mountain.
Yes.
Right. And there are, of course, the playful ones. And a number of websites actually put out a list every year. So a coffee, for example, is someone who is coughed on.
Oh, yes. That's funny.
Yeah.
Coffee.
And flabbergasted is appalled over how much weight you've gained.
Mm-hmm.
And abdicate is to give up all hope of ever having a flat medium middle again.
Yes.
And these, of course, they are for the purpose of humour only.
Yes.
But they're quite clever because it shows that you can, I mean, abdication, abdomen, put them together, you know, and you can, people love playing with language. And in Australia, we love playing with language. We're very good at it. And that's why we get all of these shortened forms, which
that come through all the time.
Confuse all of the foreigners.
So really, is it about necessity sometimes and then just about the fun other times, Rolly?
It's necessity if there's something new.
Mm.
And when you've got something new, you can either borrow the word from somewhere else, and this is what we did for centuries, borrowing all these things from French, right? Or you can invent a brand new word, which sometimes works and sometimes doesn't catch on, or you can use bits that are already there, like the mouse thing, you know, or a smartphone.
Yeah.
So these are the three patterns, and sometimes people working out which one they're going to follow. But when it's not a matter of something new, it's a matter of finding a new word for something old, then the motives can be want to show off, want to have a joke, want to make something shorter, or simply want to be impressive. You know, and a lot of the invention that went on in particularly social media in the early years had a lot to do with young people, particularly young women, who, by the way, are the real engine of
really?
Renewal. Yes, women overall are much more creative than men when it comes to language use.
Oh, there we go.
So I'm sitting on the wrong side of this desk, aren't I?
I heard ABC presenters mention recently Googability and Pop-a-Link.
Googability?
Pop-up-Link might have been from Jack from Ellerish. Hi, Jack. Googability. Oh, I suppose that Googleability.
Yes, but if it's lost an L, then that's one because Googleability, it's not easy
hard to say.
So, again, simplification, two consonants. A bit like vulnerable and arctic and so on.
Mm. Andy at Mount Isa says, what about the Watergate, Flowergate, Boozegate?
Oh, yes. The gate thing gave rise to at least tens and tens of these things.
Yeah.
All based on Watergate, which was not, well, originally it was water plus gate, but eventually became something that brought President Nixon down.
So, yes, anything that's considered a scandal is whatever it is at the start and then
Gate. Plus Gate, yes. And you, anything with Gate is going to be bad, and you know that someone is going to get held up responsible
for
it.
That's right. Yeah. It's not going to be good.
Frisbeterianism, the belief that when you die, your soul flies up onto the roof and gets stuck there.
That's very creative. I don't know why you'd want to spend eternity on your roof, but there we go. Yep. Another one, Troy says, Kelly, ABC TV weather presenter, temperature now temps, terms and conditions, T's and C's.
Yes.
Merchandise is merch, even the months of the year shortened. Okay, I get T's and C's. Why do you know,
merch I've heard quite a lot.
Merch for merchandise, yeah.
Again, not in a more expensive store.
Yeah.
It's a bit like perfume or perfume.
Mm.
You know, you only get perfume if you pay a lot of money.
Yeah, this is true.
But T's and C's, you know, terms and conditions or whatever, is an awful mouthful.
Yeah.
And it's really waiting to be shortened by someone. Mm. And in Australia, it certainly will be.
Yes.
Given a little time.
That's it. And if it's at the end of ads, then it just saves a second.
Yes.
So that can go on to something else. So T's and C's apply. We all know what it means.
But you've also possibly said something which might confuse the other person. They'll have to ask you, oh, what was that? Whereupon you're in a position of power and you can reveal what it really is.
Yep.
So these language games are sometimes competitive.
Very.
But I think with good spirit as well. You know, it's usually not to put someone down, but simply to say, hey, I know this one and you don't. Yeah. Which is, language is fun. It's why I'm here.
It is, absolutely. And new words. Every time I find one, I'm going to bring it to you, Rolly.
No, do that. Do you want a last word?
I do.
Flatulence. An emergency vehicle that picks you up after you're run over by a steamroller.
Thank you, Rolly Sussex.
Thank you, Kelly.
Will join us again next Monday night from 8 o'clock.
A Word in Your Ear, a podcast from ABC Radio Brisbane. For more information, head to abc.net.au/Brisbane.